All right. Hey, in your program is also the passage for today, if you want to look along with it, and you can follow along there. Christmas is over. What a downer, man. I love me some Christmas, but it's over, and now it didn't take long for us to get our minds going. Who's already taken their Christmas decorations down? No Scrooges here? Y'all are hanging on to it? Wow. Some people love Christmas so much, it's like, they've already got their Christmas decorations up for next year. 364 days already going. But Christmas is over, and now we've got our minds kind of going toward things, and now all the diet commercials and the Nordic Track commercials and the gym memberships are about to go up. If you want to invest in a good stock, invest in Gold's Gym. Just make sure that by February 1, you've unloaded that stock because it's going to drop back down. People get all their minds ready to go for things, but here's what we want to do today, and it's pretty simple. We want to focus the last Sunday of the year on Jesus, and every year we do this with communion, and yeah, I kind of joke that, you know, there's not a lot of people hearing things. In fact, we used to do this service early on in the life of our church. We used to do this in, like, houses and stuff, so we didn't even have Sunday services, but we grew a little bit large for that. But so this is a time where we're just kind of with family. You know, we're family, and we're going to fellowship together. We're going to learn a little bit together. But most of all, we want Jesus to be here, and we want to honor Jesus with all of our lives, but we want to make sure that the last Sunday of the year is really focused on Him. Now, let me set up what we're doing here. It's in John, the 21st chapter. And here's what's happened. We've had Peter and the other disciples, they've all kind of abandoned Jesus, and Jesus is left to be crucified. And if you remember from your gospel story, if you've been with us during Easter, Peter, Jesus predicts that he's going to deny him three times, deny that he knows him. And so he says, no, I won't do that. And so sure enough, they say, hey, you were with him, and out of fear, he says, no, I don't know him, and the second time again, and the last time, he says, darn it, and so to convince them, hey, you know, well, you know, Jesus buddies don't cuss, you know, so hey, and that's not part of the sermon, but guys, Jesus buddies don't cuss, just throwing that out there, not that I ever do, or anything like that. My kids are like, Dad, I've heard one or two. Anyway, so we have any confession? This is not about confession. Let's move on. Let's move on. So he's denied Jesus three times, and then he runs away just in despair. And so we're focusing on Peter and Jesus. And what we want to do is just want to talk about how that is. A lot of us identify with Peter. He shoots off at the mouth. He says stupid things. But he's out there, man. He goes for it. And so I admire him a lot. So here he is. And he's going to be really given a responsibility of leading the early church. Him and a couple of Jesus' brothers, James especially, and then Paul comes along later. But Peter's going to preach the first sermon after Jesus is resurrected and ascended. He's got a big job. Anyway, so Peter is here, he's denied Jesus, and Jesus has now been crucified. And all of their dreams and their ideas of what Jesus was going to do, they fell apart. You ever had a dream just fall apart? I mean, just go pooey straight down to the cesspool of life, and you just like wallow in it for a little bit. You ever had that happen? Sometimes it's a relationship, you know, you thought he was something that he wasn't, or you thought she was something that she wasn't, and, or, you know, you hope for the job or whatever, and it just didn't work out. But they had an idea. Jesus is going to come in here, he's going to be the king, he's going to kick butt and take Roman names, and we're all going to be in charge, and it's going to be awesome, and now he's dead. So this is the interim between that time and then Jesus was ascended, or Jesus was resurrected, and Peter has seen this and seen the resurrection, but now Jesus is kind of just appearing at different times over the next about 40 days. So this is Peter, and Peter hasn't really, they've seen that the grave was empty. They've seen that Jesus is resurrected, but they really haven't had a conversation. Now, have you ever had a conversation with somebody where you kind of jacked it up, messed it up, screwed it up, or you have to admit that you did something wrong, you broke the vase, and you have to admit to mom? One of those type of situations, this is what we've got. Jesus obviously didn't do anything wrong. He got killed. And then Peter denied him. He hasn't talked to him. So let's look here. It's in John, the 21st chapter, and we're going to see what happens. Beginning with the first verse here. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. When the Bible says sea, it means body of water. There is only one word for water. So it's a lake, actually. We designate it differently. They didn't. All right? So it's a lake. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, which means twin in Aramaic, also known as Didymus, which means twin in Greek. It really does. Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and two other disciples were together. I'm going fishing. Next time you do that, say, I'm going to obey the scriptures, guys. Honey, I got to obey the scriptures today. It says, I'm going to fish, and then I'm going to go down and do likewise. I'm going fishing. Jesus told me to. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. Sorry, ladies, I didn't mean to give them ammo. We'll go with you. So they went out, got into the boat, but they caught diddly squat. That's the Timbo version. They caught nothing at all. So here they are. All their dreams are gone. Everything that they had imagined is done. And quite frankly, they don't know what in the world to do. So Peter is a person of action. I'll give him that. But when all of the things that we don't understand that God is doing, or we've prayed our prayers and they haven't come out like we thought they would, we don't know what God's up to. We don't understand how He's doing it. Very often, we do a couple of things. One is we default back to our old pattern of thinking and our old way of doing things. That's what Peter was. He was a fisherman. He had dreamed for the last 3 years, he was following the Son of God, he confessed, around, and now he's dead, but now he's resurrected, and he doesn't know what to do. So what does he do? He does something. I'll give him that. He says, let's go fishing. Let's go back to our careers. Let's go back to what we were doing. We got a vision of what Jesus wanted for us, but I don't understand what's going on. He died. I don't know why he died. I didn't get all that. I mean, he sat there and taught them for 3 years, but they didn't get it. And then he's risen from the dead, but I denied him. He's not going to take me. He's got all these thoughts in his head. What do I do? Is Jesus even going to forgive me? I feel like garbage because of what I've done. And so, but he's still the leader of everybody. You know that guy that you're like, now in a small town like I grew up in Arkansas, there's nothing to do on Friday night. So everybody just drives up and down the road. Did anybody grow up in one of these towns? Dumbest town you ever. Anyway, we just do that kind of thing. Waste gas. That's when it was like 99 cents or less a gallon. So you could do this kind of thing. We can't afford to do it anymore. So we do that. But there's this guy that's always with you, and he's like, what are we going to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? Finally, somebody says, let's go to McDonald's or whatever. Or let's go out and go out and mudding or something stupid, whatever stupid thing the guy wants to do. That's what everybody does because he's the leader, right? And so you just follow him and says, well, if everybody jumped off and like, well, yeah, if Billy's the one doing it to begin with, we all would. That's what we do. Peter's that guy. Everybody just follows him and it doesn't matter. I'm going fishing. All right? I'm going to go make some money, do something. And so everybody else says, we're going to. So that's what they do. And they went, and they cast their nets, and they cast their nets, and they cast their nets, and they didn't get anything. Now, the background of this is early on, like about 3 years ago, when Peter was considering whether to follow Jesus or not, this same thing happened. They had cast their nets all night long trying to get a haul in. They got nothing but minnows and bait fish. And so he's like, nothing's happening. And then Jesus comes along and says, throw it out again. He says, we haven't caught anything. Throw it out. Anyway, threw it out and they had a big haul. Okay? So here he is and they have caught nothing. So they're going back to their old things, their old ways, their old patterns, their old attitudes, their old way of life, their old way of thinking, their old way of doing. Let's just go fishing. Nothing else to do. Let's just go back to what we were doing. The dream's over. The vision's done. Our hopes are gone. Yeah, Jesus is risen from the dead, but what does that even mean to me? So, all right, here we go. They caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. They didn't know him. The disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them. You caught anything? Actually, it says, friends, haven't you any fish? But in Aramaic, hey, y'all caught anything? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. And these guys are a trip. They're like, we got nothing to lose. So they haul it out on the right side. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. And then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Who's the disciple whom Jesus loved? John, that's right. He's like Bob Dole. He always speaks in the third person. It's totally weird, but that's what he does. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off and jumped into the water. Now, he wasn't naked, guys. Anyway, the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish. So Peter's swimming. He's pretty pumped. And the rest of them do the work, which is just like that guy, right? He says, let's all go do it. Then he goes and does it, and everybody does it. And then he's off doing something else when everybody's finishing what he started. That's that guy. Anyway, it's the Lord. The other disciples follow in the boat, towing the net full of fish. They were not far from shore, about 100 yards. That's the length of a football field, guys, just in case you're not sports people. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. So here they are, and they've gone back to their old things, but then Jesus appears, and he says, throw out the net, and here they come, and they've got it all. And Jesus is sitting there waiting on the shore. Now catch this. They've gone back to their old things. But as they're waiting on God to answer, as they're waiting on Jesus to show up, literally, in this physical sense, as you're going through your problems, you're going through your life, you're going through your difficulty, when's God going to show up? When's Jesus going to answer this? I don't understand, God, what you're doing. I don't get this. And in the midst of it, a lot of times we go back to our things and we give up before Jesus can show up. Our miracle, our answer is right there, but we've stopped walking the walk of faith, the walk of trust, because we don't understand it. We don't see how it could happen. We lose our faith, literally. We lose our trust. Guys, you can have a guarantee or you can have faith, but you can't have both. You can have comfort or you can have trust, but you can't have both. We put ourselves into Jesus' hands and we trust him. And that means, this is deep theological stuff, guys. That means we trust him. We don't trust us. We trust him. We trust his word. We pray, believing in faith, knowing that he will answer. But those answers don't always come immediately. And we want it microwave or Instapot prayer. We want it immediate. And in the process, we go back to doing our other things, but we stop the walk of faith. We stop the steps of trust. There's that old poem. Remember it? Footprints in the sand. Footprints in the sand. Oh, it's so touching. It says we've got footprints in the sand, and then all of a sudden there are only one set of footprints. And then I'm like, Lord, why did you leave me at my most difficult times? He says, well, it was those times that I carried you. Well, I haven't shared this in a while, so I'm going to share with you about walking the walk of faith. The sequel to Footprints in the Sand. If you haven't heard this, one night I had a wondrous dream. One set of footprints there were seen, the footprints of my precious Lord, but mine were not along the shore. Then some stranger prints appeared. I asked the Lord, what have we here? Those prints are large and round and neat, but Lord, they're too big to be feet. My child, he said in somber tones, for miles I carried you along. I challenged you to walk in faith, but you refused and made me wait. You disobeyed. You would not grow. The walk of faith you would not know, so I got tired and got fed up, and there I dropped you on your butt. Every time, it just cracks me up. Because in life there comes a time when one must fight, one must climb, one must rise and take a stand or leave his butt prints in the sand. Walk the walk of faith. You can have a guarantee or you can have faith. You can't have both. You can't just run back. And that's what we do. We run back. And Jesus wants us to walk this walk of faith, this relationship with him, this knowing him, this being with him, not being for him, not being about him, being with him. He came to reconcile us to himself. In fact, at that time, it was a cultural thing. If you were at odds with one of your friends or former friends or enemies, what you'd do is you'd invite them over to dinner. Remember that the Psalms 23, every funeral graveside seems to have Psalm 23. And it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In other words, we're reconciled. So if I say, hey, Brian, let's go have dinner. We've kind of been at odds with each other. We weren't, but we've been at odds with each other. Hey, let's go to IHOP or whatever. And it would mean that you connect up and you approve of somebody. Zacchaeus, the wee little man, remember him? Jesus says, I'm going to your house today. It's like, wow, you just invited yourself over for dinner. It's very un-Southern, but that's what he did. And you're like, wow, that's like rude. It's not rude at all. He was like, I want to be friends with you. In fact, that's what Jesus was criticized for a lot. You eat with publicans. You eat with sinners. You eat with gnarly people. You're friends with them. Jesus said, yeah, they're my buds. He didn't become like them in their behavior, but he was friends with them. And he taught them the ways of the kingdom, just like everybody else, except these religious people didn't want to hear it. So here we are in John, the 21st chapter, again. So let's finish it up. So the burning coals were there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you've just caught. He's already cooking some fish, but they're going to have a few more fillets here. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. Good job. Finish his job. It was full of large fish, 153. What's the significance of 153? I have no idea. Everything in the Bible is not some little secret thing. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Come, let's sit down. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, gave it to them, did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Hang with me next week and we'll go to the next verses on that too. But here he is. He says, I want to reconcile with you. Peter just denied him three times, raised from the dead, gone back to his old work. And what does Jesus do? Hey, let's reconcile. Let's friend back up. let's connect up. Let's walk together. I've got some things to talk to you about. Let's do it together. So, because that's what it was about in the very beginning. God created the heavens and earth, blah, 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 animals, this, that, and all. And here they are in this place with all the fruit they would want. And then the one that they shouldn't have eaten, but they did. But before they did eat that, they walked with God. They talked with Him personally. They knew Him. They lived with Him. They weren't ashamed. They weren't disturbed. They had peace. They had everything they needed. It was perfect. They had good work. They had purposeful work. They tended this place. And they had all that they needed at that time. And then they chose to disobey, just like you and I have done. And so what God decided to do was what we just celebrated. Come as a human being. Get this. This just blows. I had this thought. I don't know. It took me 48 years to. That's how old I am. I know I look 32 and I'm so cute, but I'm 48. I'm an old fart. Yeah. Woo. So I had this thought. Think about it. God, the creator of the universe, becomes a completely different type of being. I mean, he changed creatures. He's still divine in God, but he became a different creature, a different type of thing. He became the type of thing that he created. Now that hurts my head, but this is what he gave up. He came as a human so that he could be the sacrifice for humans, for us, for people like us. And he did live. And he did. He was crucified on the cross. And it was that symbol as he's having this Passover meal, remembering when the Israelites left Egypt, they put the blood over their door and the death angel passed over them. That's why we call it Passover. It ain't rocket surgery. Passed over them. And he says, now look, we're celebrating this blood being laid out here. We're remembering when they ate the bread and they left. That's why it's unleavened. They left quickly from that. We're remembering that. But look, this bread is my body. It's going to be torn apart for you. This is my blood. It's going to be poured out for you so that it can be as it was intended in the beginning. I can know you. I can walk with you. I can love you. You don't do it for me. You don't do it religiously. We do this together. We walk together. That's what we're looking for in life. That's what you're looking for in 2019. Not some resolution. Oh, my dear soul, they're all gone by January 3. Not a resolution. A life with God. A life with Christ. Reconciled to God. Reconciled to our Creator. Brought together again because of what Jesus did on the cross. And he rose again from the dead. And it's a super important thing. We'll talk about it at Easter. But he rose again from the dead in power over death. I mean, the guy that's resurrected from the dead, I'm going to listen to him. I'm just saying. Whatever you got to say, I want to hear it. That's pretty interesting stuff. He was resurrected from the dead after being torn apart for you and me so that we can be reconciled to him. He wants to know you. He wants to love you. He wants to walk with you. Come, have breakfast with me. Come, have dinner with me. Come. And that's why we eat. It's communion. We remember what he did for us, but we identify with him in Christ. It doesn't become the literal body of Christ and weird blood. It doesn't do that. What it is it's a symbol of what's going on in our heart. We want to know you. We're reconciled to you because of what you've done. So let's do this. Let's pray. And I'm going to invite you right now to just bow your head for a moment. And we're going to take a few moments here as well. And we're just going to pray and let God speak to us. And then we're going to sing a song. But before we do that, we invite anybody who has become a follower of Christ to receive these elements. It's going to be a cracker and juice, guys. Anybody who has done that, and if you're not ready to do that, please, we don't do this often because we don't want to pressure people, but just quietly let it pass by you. Don't worry about it. It's not a big pressure thing, and nobody's looking at you weird. Just go ahead and do that. But we would invite you, if you would become a follower of Christ, if you would put your trust in Him today, if you would receive this gift, to share in this with us. And I'm going to invite you to pray a simple prayer. Dear Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus. I do believe, Jesus, you're the Son of God. I do believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose again from the dead, and I believe you're at the right hand of the Father right now. And I ask you, Lord, to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to be the leader of my life, my Lord, my Savior. I don't know what it all means, but I know I want to surrender myself to you right now and trust you and receive your gift of knowing you and being with you forever and living forever that you've promised me. And I receive that in your name, Jesus. Send the Holy Spirit to live inside of me, so that I can walk with you and know you and live with you both now and forever and ever. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for fulfilling your promise. And I believe and I trust and I know where I am destined forever. And now, Lord, as we go through these moments where we receive the symbol of your body and the symbol of your blood, we want to take some moments and just talk to you. And you speak to us as you will, and we are open to hearing what you have to say. In Jesus' name. So here's where we're going.